On Alaska Community Broadcasting has covered local news for the past 20 years, and to mark that anniversary, KUCB is spending every Thursday of 2019 looking back at our former reporters and sharing some of their stories. This month, we're focusing on Alexandra Gutierrez. In 2011, she filed this report from St. Paul Island as the community celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Northern Fur Seal Treaty.
For three nights straight, the people of St. Paul packed the village's rec hall for a mix of dancing, singing, praying, and feasting. High schoolers vogued to Lady Gaga for a fashion show, and adults placed bids in an auction for vintage luxury goods. They were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Northern Fur Seal Treaty, which put serious restrictions on the once lucrative practice of hunting fur seals for their pelts. It might seem a little weird that a piece of arcane environmental law was a cause for such a blowout. But on top of being the first international wildlife conservation agreement in history, that document also saved the seals from extinction while guaranteeing the native people of the Pribilof Islands the right to a subsistence harvest. The centennial gave the Aleuts who live in St. Paul a chance to remember a major part of Alaska's history that's often overlooked. Jason Bordakovsky worked as a sealer in his youth.
The fur seal industry was an intricate part of why the state of Alaska was bought, you know. It wasn't for oil or for timber or even for fishing, you know. That all came later.
The history he describes is a difficult one. The people of the Pribilofs were originally from the Aleutian Islands, and they were forcibly displaced by the Russians and made to hunt seals. Then they worked the commercial seal harvest as wards of the U.S. government for low wages during much of the 20th century.
Sometimes they worked 10 hours, 8 hours a day. And I got happy when I got to step two when I was getting $34 a month, you know, and that was big wages, you know. And that wasn't in 1800 either, that was in 1950 something, you know.
In the 1980s, the government pulled out of St. Paul and the commercial industry for fur seal pelts disappeared. St. Paul residents continued their small subsistence harvest of the young male seals, using that meat through the winter months. Now the people of St. Paul face another challenge. The fur seal population is shrinking at a rate of about 6% a year. Ryan Berner is a wildlife technician working in St. Paul.
The populations now, based on bull counts and also counts of pup production, are less than one-fifth of what they were in their most recent peak, which was 1950. And so we're still seeing a pretty solid decline every year.
Berner spends his days walking along St. Paul's rocky cliffs, looking for tag seals in the rookeries and haulouts. That type of data will be used to help determine this year's population count. Right now, it's not really clear what's causing the seals to disappear. There's a whole mess of factors that could be putting stress on the seals, from climate change to competition from fisheries to pollution to whale predation. What is clear is that their continued decline will have consequences for the ecosystem, and that it will also have an effect on the culture and diet of St. Paul's residents. During the centennial celebration, the drop in population numbers wasn't overlooked. At the groundbreaking of a new monument to honor the sealers of St. Paul, the director of the National Marine Mammal Laboratory, John Bankson, spoke of the importance of protecting the seals.
The need for responsible stewardship of fur seals and their environment is as great today as it has ever been.
Aqualina Lestinkoff, director of the tribal government of St. Paul, also addressed the population drop and spoke of a need to conserve a species and a culture. She says that while the situation is worrisome, she believes that the fur seals may be able to bounce back once again, just like they did a century ago.
I hope that we have another 100 years in front of us. I hope there are people here eating seal a few hundred years from now.
It's going to take a lot of work for that to happen. But St. Paul's residents aren't strangers to that. During the centennial, local rock group The DL Band played a song called Slaves of the Harvest. It was written in 1978, and it's about the role the seals played in shaping the community. For a song that focuses on all of the hardships that the sealers faced, it's a pretty catchy tune, and even upbeat at points. In one of the final verses, the guitarist sings about change and hope for self-determination. And the centennial was just as much about that as it was the fur seals. Because here, the lives of the people and the seals are linked. And the dream is that things will stay that way, indefinitely. Reporting from St. Paul, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
That was a 2011 story from Alexandra Gutierrez, the fifth reporter in the history of Unalaska Community Broadcasting. Join us each Thursday for the rest of the month when we'll be re-airing more of her stories as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. You can also check out our website for past installments featuring Jim Pollan, Charles Homans, and Ann Hillman.